How beautiful it is, and what a great blessing it is when we worship in reverence and simplicity, as the Bible is called. And what a great honor and privilege it is to be here this morning. We're thankful for everyone that's here. I know we got a lot of folks out traveling, sick, what have you, and we need to be mindful of them, but it's good for us to be here together before God. Just a couple of things here before getting the lesson. Well, an update on Christy. She finished her second month of treatment. Going to have a break for about a week and start the third month. And she has finished about half of her radiation right now. So be mindful of her in your prayers. And we're so thankful for everyone's love and support, just the kindness here of the brethren. We're very, very thankful for that. Don't forget, maybe you have forgotten, but you're not today, grab a permission-based mailing slip out there in the foyer, and you're going to gather names, addresses, so we can contact folks. Just let them know about things that are going on throughout the year. We're not going to abuse the privilege. Send them two or three things a year, maybe about Vacation Bible School or what have you. So make sure you get that, get as many names as you can. Either give it to Judy McCord, Christy Hudgens, or myself, or put in that little deal by my door on the side of my office. Also, grab one of these if you don't have one, or be reminded. Summer series, every Thursday at 7. We're not meeting Wednesdays at 7. For this, we've got some great speakers coming up, wonderful topics. You will not regret being a part of this study on Wednesday or Thursdays at 7. So this morning we're going to talk about salt and gifts, gifts and salt. I want us to consider the truth that when we can truly understand the gift, we're going to be salt. In other words, that's another way basically to say to walk worthy, our theme for the year, right? If I understand the gift of God through Jesus Christ, I'm going to walk worthy. I'm going to be salt. So let's talk about salt and gifts, gifts and salt this morning. First here, you know, understand the absolute necessity of salt. Right? That salt gives flavor, it has purpose, it preserves, and in that it has value. Right? I know right now we can go to Walmart, get a thing of salt, Morton salt. It used to be you get it for what, 50 cent for that thing, about like that. Now I think it's like $2 or so. Gives flavor, it has value. And so let's talk about salts and gifts. So Matthew 5 verse 13, we know it well, right? Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. And he goes on to say, you're a light to the world. And so the call is, and there in that Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, right, greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher, he said, you're salt. If you're going to be my follower, you're going to be salt. You're going to be light. And our scripture reading just a few moments ago in Mark chapter 9, in verse 50, salt is, it's good. Salt, if it loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourself and have peace with one another. Understand the importance of salt and you and I being salt as followers of Jesus. Now, gifts. I found this, you know, Google sometimes can be your friend. You're looking for interesting things. And so I've got this list here of the 10 most expensive gifts in their categories, gifts given by someone to somebody else. And just look at this. A computer mouse, $24,000. Teddy bear, $71,000. The number six in there. A box of chocolates in diamond-encrusted box, $1.5 million. A mobile phone for $2.4 million. $25 million for a shirt made of gold, gold thread and diamonds. I actually saw a picture of this. Fellows from India. He's showing off his gold shirt with diamonds encrusted on it. A wristwatch for over $25 million and a $2 billion house in India. Now, would you exchange this for salt? Right? When you consider some of the things that man comes up with to give to others, and then you consider the gift that Jesus extends to us. Romans 5, verse 8 is a good one. God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We're talking about a gift. Listen, if you're here this morning and you've been cleansed by the blood of Christ, you've obeyed the gospel, do you understand the gift? Right? When we can begin to understand and wrap our minds around the significance of this gift, listen, we're going to be sold. Right? We're going to walk worthy. Lord, I want to be useful to you in your purpose. You know, when Jesus looks down at you in your life from heaven, and actually visualize this and him looking right now, you in your life, you know where you're at faithfully. Is he looking down at your life and he's saying, yes, that's what I had in mind when I went to the cross. Right? That yes, they struggle and they fall short. But he's trying, she's trying. Or is it the case, sadly, he looks down at your life? He's saying, that's not what I had in mind when I went to the cross. Are we taking advantage of the gift? Are we taking it in vain? Are we ignoring the gift? See, we're never going to be salt. We're never going to walk worthy if we don't understand this gift. So if Jesus looks at you and he's not pleased with what you've done with that gift, the question is, are you willing to change? Are you willing to accept and use his gift as intended? Like we just read here, Mark chapter 9, 49 and 50. Right? It's the most important decision you'll ever make. Right? To attach yourself to that gift and to be salt. Right? To be used for a worthwhile purpose. In my study, I was thinking about some passages to help relay something that God is trying to get across to us that I think will move us in the right direction. And that is understanding the absolute majesty and the glory of our God. And I appreciate Brother Matt and the songs that he chose. We always kind of have a little texting back and forth Sunday mornings usually, and talk about topic and what have you, and he picked the perfect songs. You know, so Scripture again and again is trying to show us the absolute majesty of God and really how small we are. Right? Like Bildad there in Job chapter 25, he says, you know, he gets it right there. He doesn't get a lot right, but there he gets it right. Hey, we're basically maggots in comparison to God. And the psalmist ask that question, you know, who's man that you're even mindful of him? And then he goes on in chapter 9 to remind us of who is mindful of us, right? The creator of the universe is mindful of you. He knows everything about you. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. And he cares for you. And he loves you. And he sent his only begotten son to die for you. So if we ask another question, you know, what have I done to deserve that gift? Well, the answer is nothing. You can't do anything to earn or deserve this gift. But yet, he offers it. That should absolutely humble us. We should be humbled by that thought, by that truth. A few verses here to consider. Right, we've talked about John 3:16 in a little more detail recently, right? You need to be reminded. God, he loves you so much. He loves man so much, he gave his only begotten son, right? You know that passage by heart, or Philippians chapter 2 and In verse 8, talk about Jesus being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is our propitiation for our sins. And not only for ours only, but also for the whole world. Our small minds struggle to comprehend the majesty of God and the wonderful nature of this gift. But yet, it's extended to each and every one of us, regardless of our past, regardless of our failures. Now, I did all of that to set up. I want us to think about three things this morning. Three motivations. Three reasons why we respond to this, right? Gifts and salt. Now, the list is much, much longer. Right, started making a list. I was like, I think these are the three most important, at least in my mind, and I hope that you agree. Three most important motivations or things to remember or not to forget concerning the gift and our response in being salt or walking worthy to go along with our theme for the year. And number one, in my understanding is understanding just how short and fragile life is. I need to be reminded of the fragility of life and the shortness of my time on this earth. You know, and I guess I should add to that, I need to also try to comprehend the vastness of eternity. When you understand that, you know, you're going to come to that point to walk worthy and say, Lord, you know, I want to be useful to you. Right? I want your purpose as my purpose in my life because I know I'm only here for a short amount of time. Right? And this is why I think I brought this up in a Bible class not long ago, you know, especially on a Wednesday or in services in general, we see more gray hair than not gray hair. Right? Because you start to get a little bit of gray, you go, wow, that went fast. I was 18 yesterday. Right now, I'm closer to being 55 than 54. But I was 18 yesterday. Right? Because you come to that point, you're getting older, like, okay, yeah, this I'm not going to be here much longer. Right? I want to be right with the Lord. When you're young, you think you got forever. Right? Oh, I've got so much time. What does Paul remind us of in Ephesians chapter 5? What does he remind us of? He says, hey, listen, Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, you know, walk wisely or circumspectly, right? Redeem the time. Why? Well, because he said, you know, the days are evil. Well, evil in what sense? I believe evil in the sense that we keep thinking we got more and more days and we can handle that spiritual stuff down the road. And therefore, I think it's evil. Listen, I need to remember the vastness of eternity. I need to remember that my soul is immortal. My soul is going to continue on somewhere after this physical body dies, somewhere, heaven or hell. Right, Hebrews 9 and verse 27, there's an appointment that I'm going to have to keep. And that's judgment. Life is fragile. We're not promised another breath or another heartbeat. And if we get to live to 100 years old, hey, it's gone like that. Some of us think about try to visualize this in some way. So I want us to think about the number a billion, 1 billion. Now, a billion seconds ago was 1994, 32 years ago, billion seconds ago. A billion minutes ago was about AD 120, right? The Apostle John might have still been alive about then. A billion hours ago was way before the creation of this world. Right, it's back over 100,000 years ago. That's just a billion hours. A billion days from right now is just the first moment of eternity. Right, we think what we're doing in this life right now is so important. Right, and we fill it with just busyness and non-important stuff. Not considering the vastness of eternity. Not considering the gift of God to be cleansed by the blood of his Son and be useful to him as salt. Our mind's somewhere else. I'm going to binge watch 10 seasons of whatever on Netflix and never crack open my Bible. I'm going to think hanging out with these people is more important than coming and gathering with the church for worship and study. My job is so much more important than coming and studying the Word of God with the brethren on a Wednesday at 7. Right? We just get our priorities all messed up. So I think number one is understanding the fragile nature of life. Just how short it is. And adding to that, of course, the vastness of eternity. And I say it sometimes as an illustration, right? We all have a door next to us, right here. Now, we can't see it with our physical eyes, but there's a door. We all have our own door. And on the other side of that door is the vastness of eternity that leads to one of two places: eternal suffering, condemnation, separation from God, hell, or eternal bliss and life together with God. It's going one of two places. You don't have a choice whether if that door is there or not. At some point, you're going to cross through the threshold of that door. Right? And you know, Jesus may even come before them. Same principle. He's giving you time right now to make preparation. Even if you live the perfect, physically perfect, healthy life, right? And you're just great physical specimen. You get to live to 120 years in this world. You're still going to go through that door. And so are you prepared? That's the question. All right, number two this morning. I think number two thing that we got to be mindful of is pride. I think it would benefit us greatly. We're seeking to fear God, keep his commandments, accept that gift, be salt for the Lord, right? All of that. I think the second most important thing, now this is my list. You may have a different list from your Bible. It's controlling our pride. Now, in our sermon series that we began last Sunday evening, we're going to continue this evening, part two to that. We're looking at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. The seven things that God hates, seven abominations to God. And we're going to talk about pride this evening in more detail, and I hope you're here for that. Right? He begins, number one, with pride. Why? Because I think pride is so dangerous. Pride is like a shackle to our ankles trying to drag us down to hell. Right? That's how dangerous and damaging pride is. Pride destroys relationships and marriages and friendships. Pride is ever present and it's dangerous, right? And pride keeps that individual, like here in a little bit, we're going to sing a song of invitation, offering the Lord's invitation. You know what? Pride probably is going to keep somebody in their pew, keep them from coming forward knowing that they need to be reconciled to God and bring something before the church. Start over, but pride's going to say, no, that's embarrassing. You don't want to let everyone know your dirty laundry. Pride may keep someone here who's never obeyed the gospel from obeying the gospel. I'm a good person. You know, I haven't killed anyone, committed adultery, robbed banks, paid my taxes. I'm a good person. I don't need to obey the gospel. What is that? Well, that's pride, self-sufficiency. I think pride, it's just one of the number one things that we need to be aware of, right? Pride keeps us from humbling ourselves. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. See, pride makes us do things that we know are wrong, and it keeps us from doing what we know is right. You know, and worst of all here, before we go on to our third and final point, something about pride that I've learned. Pride makes us push aside fear, the good kind of fear. You know, when fear is a good thing, pride just, you know, don't worry about that. And, you know, of many stories in my past where I've heard, I've learned the hard lesson. Whenever I think about pride and the danger of it, this is what comes to my mind. So, in the army, over in Iraq, we just get to this fire base, and still kind of new, and we were replacing the 82nd Airborne, right? Hardened veterans, been there for over a year, and we kind of do a couple week overlap. They're kind of showing us the area and everything. Well, had this, we called it the gym, just a tent, probably 20 foot by 20 foot, a few odds and ends, weights in there. And so I'm in there, and there's this other soldier, 82nd Airborne, probably a sergeant or something, you know, just in there lifting weights, and all of a sudden you hear boom, boom, all these explosions. Now in training, when you hear that, you hit the deck. Right, so when you hit the deck, a mortar almost has to land exactly on top of you to kill you or hurt you. I knew that. And so I asked the guy, is that incoming mortars? He's like, yeah, so what? So he's not hitting the deck. I know I should hit the deck, but my pride's saying, you know, you don't want to be the wimpy guy and hit the deck on the dirt floor. And so I didn't. So I just kind of kept lifting weights like, hey, there's nothing going on here. And here I am, 32 years old. I've got 3 kids at the time at home back in America. And I'm risking everything for pride. That's how dangerous pride is. Pride is an absolute killer. Number 3 and finally this morning, never, ever, ever forget the sacrifice of Jesus. Never forget the gift. Never forget why he made that sacrifice for us. Right? We're so forgetful. People are so forgetful. You know, that's why we partake of Lord's Supper every first day of the week, right? What does it say on the front of that table? Do this in remembrance of me. The Lord wants us to remember because we are forgetful. Right? We need to be reminded again and again and again of the gift. A great example is 2 Peter. In 2 Peter, he says again and again, chapter 1 and verse 12, for this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Well, what things? Well, all of these wonderful things we have access to leading up to that. We're not going to read it all. But then again in verse 13, reminding you. Verse 15, same chapter, a reminder of these things. You can just go through this short little book here. Let me just jump over to chapter 3. I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder in verse 1. Then in verse 2, be reminded or be mindful. Verse 5, for this they willfully forget. He's talking about scoffers. Jesus hasn't come. In verse 8, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is as one day, right? We are forgetful people. Sometimes we just forget the gift. That's why we partake of the Lord's Supper. He said, I want you to remember the gift. When you take that bread, remember he gave his body. This is God in the flesh. When you drink of that fruit of the vine, you remember the blood, the gift. Right? All of our worship is about remembering. Hopefully, when you come on Sunday morning and you're singing praises to God, it's because your cup is so overflowed with the blessings of God, you can't stop but praising God. Right? You're overflowing from the blessings you received the previous week. Wow, God loves me. He saved me. I can't stop praising him. Right? And in your prayers and in your giving. Remember, giving is part of our worship. Right? Giving is purposeful. It's thought out because of the gift. Right? Every aspect of what we do is a response to the gift. And it reminds us. That's why, you know, I think coming together, any opportunity that we have, any study opportunity, worship opportunity, any fellowship opportunity we have, because we forget. He said, I want you to remember, attach to your life as many possible ways to remember, daily in your prayer, daily in your study, whatever it is, constantly remember. For while we were still sinners, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do we understand? Right? Have we put it all into perspective? The absolute magnitude of his love. The magnitude of the gift. If we're in search of motivation to fear God, keep his commandments, to be salt, to be light, to walk worthy, let it be this reason right here. Right? The reason above all other reasons. And when Christ was on the cross, he was carrying the burden of my sin on him, 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. Right? That's why I serve him. Right? That's why I keep his commandments. He died and was buried and rose again for my benefit, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. This is why I give him honor and I glorify him and I serve him to the best of my ability according to the standards of the New Testament. Because he first loved me when I was unworthy of that love. So, by way of conclusion this morning, put it all together, right? Don't forget the salt. Life is short, it's fragile, eternity is vast. But I have access to this gift. Why wouldn't I take advantage of this gift? Why would I not walk in the light as he's in the light? Have that continual access to forgiveness. At 1 John 1 verse, why wouldn't I? This life is short, it's fragile, eternity is vast. Maybe it's because my pride keeps me from understanding that. Maybe it's my pride that keeps me from responding to the gift, or maybe it's my pride that continually takes advantage of the grace of God. Right, I got to control my pride. Pride is so destructive. Then finally, number three, of course, is never, ever, ever forget the gift. Never forget the sacrifice of Jesus and the love of God that was shown in that gift. I want to read to you just a couple verses here, and the lesson is yours, Romans 5. I just mentioned verses 6 through 8 a minute ago. But I want to read 9 through 11, and then we'll offer the Lord's invitation here. Romans chapter 5, let me read verses 9 through 11. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. That's all about the gift. And if you're here this morning, you've never responded to the gift, you've never obeyed the gospel, listen, this is God giving you that opportunity right here, right now. The day is coming, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7-9, Jesus is coming back with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and have not obeyed the gospel. What a gift you have today to obey the gospel, to put on Christ in baptism. And you do it with a response of faith, out of love, right, a willingness to believe and confess and repent. So you have that opportunity this morning. Or if you've done that, for some reason you went back into a lifestyle of sin, and you're ready to start over, or you just need encouragement, you just need prayers, don't hesitate. Respond to the gift that God offers you. Let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.